Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by www.mitmaster.com.
Hey everybody, so I know this is probably confusing the what's this everybody, because I'd already said that we weren't going to have an episode tonight, and now we've got an episode tonight. My daily schedule is changing literally like day to day on the day, so it worked out that I actually did end up with some time to record. So I did, because, you know, I owe it to you guys for supporting over the years, and we've got sponsors involved now that I've got agreements I need to stick to, you know, as any good podcast provider should, and you know, I enjoy doing it as well. So I could have been at home watching a film and drinking a beer, but I thought no, gosh darn it, I will get on there and I will get my tired ass doing the podcast. But yeah, thanks to everybody that's reached out as well and sent their best wishes and stuff. It is appreciated. For those that are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, a bit upside down at the minute in that one of my kids has been in and out of hospital the last sort of 2.5 weeks. They've been in hospital overnight, every night for the last 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks. So we're into the third week, effectively. And yeah, it's not good for the good, not good for the old noggin, lack of sleep for that length of time. So I was originally going to be in this evening doing the overnight, but we've switched things around. I went in yesterday instead. It was a bit of a last minute change, so I ended up being able to do the podcast. So here we are. So enjoy the episode. Sorry for the slightly weird intro, but you know, I'd already come online and said I wasn't going to do this tonight, and then I'm doing it, and yeah. It's just what life does sometimes. But anyway, enjoy the episode. Another sponsored by caffeine episode of the podcast. And I'll catch you on the other side, guys.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.
All right, guys, so it's Tuesday. And despite the fact that I actually went online earlier and said that we weren't doing this today, it's Talk Bollocks Tuesday on a Tuesday.
Hey!
Was that better than the one that I just started again? I don't know. We're keeping this one.
Good
one. One thing we're going to establish today is that I am very tired, more so than last week. So this is a very, very high risk episode. So I am praying to whichever God you so choose to believe in that Matthew Chapman is choosing something like Care Bears as the subject or something like that, because it's just dangerous territory. We're
unfortunately not, dude. Unfortunately not.
Go on then.
So I thought after last week's interesting conversation, we should talk about how to handle customer complaints.
Right.
Well, see you later then. Bye, Chris.
Yeah. Are we talking about how I would usually deal with them, or how I would this moment?
Well, yeah, maybe we should talk about different times when you're dealing with customer complaints,
like
a professional way possibly of doing it, a more emotional reactionary way of dealing with it, and one
20
when
years ago, 3 years ago, three minutes ago.
With the different ways.
Okay. Because
we do get it occasionally, don't we? We do get the disgruntled student parents, you know, complaining to us. Sometimes it's not directly to us. Often it's the whole grapevine thing, isn't it? And they moan to another staff member who then comes and tells you that so-and-so is not happy because of this. And we all feel like, oh, geez, do we really have to do this? And then you've got to think of a appropriate response and do all the back and forthing of all of that. It's not easy.
Which is why when you do everything yourself, you don't have to worry about that, because you've got no one else to moan to first, because you're all the hats. Although it's not always a good thing, because sometimes, I'll be fair now, I'll be honest, joking aside, I have had it where somebody's taken a complaint to another staff member who's just thought, that's ridiculous. I'm not even going to bother him with this. I'll just sort it out. Because they are sometimes a bit ridiculous. Well, I can sort this out, you know. It's definitely a It's definitely a tricky subject. And I'll just say this though, for all the jovial, whatever the word is, I can't make words work at the minute, for messing about. I do have some experience and ability to have a good level of customer service. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a full-time school. Yeah. I'm perhaps quite blunt, but you can still be to the point and, you know, serve people's needs in a professional way. You know, the two can have a fader. You know, I can slide that fader up and down for that bluntness and that. I'm actually like doing that with my hand at the same time as saying it. Fade thing. I can, you know, I've been there. There's been times where you have to be, you know, it depends on the complaint or the question or the seriousness of it. You know, I found over time when those more difficult questions have come along, you sort of develop stock answers as well sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's had that question of, oh, well, we can't come for those 2 weeks. Can we get a refund?
Yeah. How do you handle that one?
Well, Mr. Smith, you know, we sometimes have 5 week months, and obviously, you know, if we could charge you extra for those 5 week months, or, you know, you could just not have the refund for the 2 weeks that you can't come out this year. Which would you like?
Yeah. That's there you go. You've obviously done this before.
Yeah. And then you kind of see them looking up, thinking, totting it up, and they're like, oh, crap, yeah. Yeah. We will not pay for the 2 weeks. So I'll say, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. But yeah, it's you get it occasionally. I had it actually not too long ago. Somebody complained that because we used to run our gradings at weekends.
Yeah.
But prior to that, we always did them in the regular classes.
Right.
And somebody complained that they were going to lose one class out of 3 months. So they wanted a refund for that one class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They didn't get it.
And what was your firm yet diplomatic answer to that?
I just basically said, you know, I appreciate your concern, but it's one class out of 3 months. You know, I would hope that you value what we do enough to feel it appropriate to maybe not need the refund for that one class. And then they were okay about it. I think I sort of made them feel a bit guilty for asking for a refund for one class out of 3 months.
Yeah. So you do get a lot of this as an instructor. And I think when you first start out, don't you? It kind of affects you quite a bit, and you think, like, say you get a complaint, someone sends you a shirty email, and you're like, oh, and you kind of agonize over it, and you write different responses, and you delete the responses, and then you're like, what shall I say? What shall I say? You might write a really angry response, and then go, no, can't be like that. And as you say, the more it happens, the less it seems to stress you out and the more able you are to cope with it. So anyone who's kind of starting out right now, someone complaining can seem like a big deal.
Yeah.
But once you've had 10, 15 years of it, it's like duck off of water's back.
Yeah, your house, duck's back. Your house, your rules.
Yeah.
And it's simple.
But I do think there is a way of handling complaints that tends to get it resolved quicker without anyone getting butthurt, really.
Educate me.
Well, you're doing it anyway, but it's to, especially if they're, you know, if it's face to face, to fully and actively listen without interjecting, responding, or getting difficult. So actually kind of, you know, looking at the person, nodding, agreeing with what they're saying, then reflect back to them with what they've said to see if you've got it right. And use the same words they've used, then apologize for any misunderstanding or hurt or upset that might have been caused, possibly even if it's not your fault, and then find a way to make it right that works.
Yeah, because sometimes it is hard to apologize for something that you know is not your fault.
Yeah.
But you can do it in a way where you're apologizing for the way they feel as opposed to what they want. So yeah, like you said, then I've done that so many times. Like I'm Mrs. Smith, I'm really sorry if it's made you feel that way.
Yeah.
But the reality is X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're apologising for them upsetting themselves, as opposed to apologising for the thing they think you've done wrong, even if you haven't done it wrong.
Yeah.
The classic ones like, well, my timetable doesn't say that.
Yeah, you've got one from 5 years ago.
Yeah. I intentionally sat down and printed yours different to everybody else's. You know, I just thought, you know what? I got to print one that's wrong. Print one wrong and stick it in there with all the right ones. See who gets it. Ha ha ha. Yeah, you get it all the time.
Yeah.
My letter didn't say that. My timetable didn't say that. My email didn't say that. I'm really sorry if there was any misunderstanding there. If it was from our side, then I'm sorry. But would you like me to show the email and go through it with you and explain where the misunderstanding might be?
Mm.
At which point you then point out why they're wrong without making them feel like you've done that.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's part of the job, though. Like, you're not going to be able to keep everyone happy all the time, are you? It's impossible. And it's, I think part of it is, especially with instructors, is we assume people know what our motivations are. And sometimes we don't give people enough warning or time before we make changes that are going to possibly, you know, upset people. So I've done this when I was running my school. Obviously, it'd be like a Wednesday night class is really quiet. So I'll say to the people, guys, there's not enough people in this class. So kind of next week, we're going to knock it on the head or turn it into something else. And of course, then you get all the complaints. Oh, I was going to come along on a Wednesday night, but so-and-so, and I love my Wednesday night classes. You can't take them away from us and all of this sort of stuff. And you're like, God damn it. So I think a longer lead up time to changes that you're making in the school, you know, gives you ample opportunity to catch all the people and make them aware of it. I think people don't like change that happens immediately. Like, something's changed and it's changed from 1 week to the next, they freak out. But if you give them 3 months lead up and say, this is changing, grading fees are changing in 3 months, payment structure's changing in 6 months, this class is ending in 6 weeks. It gives you enough time to contact people via messenger, via text message, via Facebook group, via email. And people kind of get their heads around it. But I think it's like that, you know, this is changing now type of thing. My rules, my place, my way or the highway. You can understand it can piss people off.
Yeah, you can. You've got it. There's a time and a place for it. You know, it's not like you wake up and go, my grading fees are changing today and it's gradings tomorrow. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, we changed our grading fees for March and we announced it in November.
Exactly.
And then what we did was, you know, it's if you play it right, we announced it in November that the fees for this year were going to be increasing £5.
Yeah.
So we offered everybody the opportunity to pre-book for the entirety of this year at last year's price, so long as they did it be out by the end of December.
Yes, very clever. Yeah. Nice.
So we had everybody. A lot of people, not everybody, had a lot of people that booked up for the whole of this year in December at December's rates. And then everybody else that didn't went on to the new rates in March this year. Everybody was happy because everyone knew what was happening. And then some people got a discount.
Yeah.
And then we got a nice little cash injection in December, ready for tax bill time.
Oh, January tax bill. Lovely. Ooh, that's everyone's favorite time, isn't it just after Christmas when you've literally got no money left? The government comes a knocking.
I won't say any naughty words about them at the moment.
No, best not to. That was a very clever way of solving that problem, wasn't it? Give them enough warning and do them a deal if they want to keep the old rate, and you can do the same with class fees, type of thing as well. Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, we did it with gradings and we did it with one-to-ones.
Yeah,
we did it with sparring kit. We just announced all the increases in November, so you know people could buy Christmas presents with the discount applied if they wanted to, and it meant that nobody could sit around and go, "Well, I didn't know that." It's like, "Well, you did,"
because we've been talking about it.
We told you nonstop through November because we were trying to promote it for December, so you knew about it.
Mm.
You know, you had emails, you had Facebook messages, you had leaflets, you had notice board, video board, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. One way of avoiding getting complaints I find works really well is to stop complainers joining your gym or your school. So, you know, when you've had like a trial and the person's already starting to moan about stuff, and you're like, oh, you're going to be trouble, aren't you? You're going to make my life harder. So at that point, I'd usually say something along the lines of, well, I'm glad you enjoyed your trial. We're unfortunately fully booked for the next XYZ period. So we'll let you know as soon as we've got a space for you, and they don't get the call.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We've touched on that before and recently, haven't we, about, you know, don't feel you got to get everybody through the door. It can be selective.
Yes.
You can fine tune it, finesse.
Well, you just want to be teaching people that you enjoy being around, really, don't you?
For the most part.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's not very many people I like being around to be fair.
Yeah, but this is just grumpy Chris. Normal Chris will be back next week and be much more jovial. Grumpy and tired Chris does not like people at the moment.
Yeah. I have
had that where I've kind of got an inkling that this is going to be a reoccurring problem, because people are who they are. They're not going to change. And if you're getting a vibe off someone early days that they're going to be a bit of a pain in the butt, then it might be worth considering not letting them in the first place. But that's their call, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it's, and you learn to trust your gut. You learn you're gonna have to stuff it up a few times, you will, but you'll start to spot certain cues and certain personality traits that you know just won't gel. If people are prepared to complain about it or ask about it on class one or class two, then you need to be thinking, because once they're settled in, it's going to increase.
Yeah,
you know, and it might not just be questions; it might be behavior, wanting to take them onto the mats and wanting to do everything for them and stuff. It's like, well, no, you know, parents are here, kids go there. Oh yeah, but he won't be able to cope without me being there. Can I just be there for the one? No, no. Parents are here, students go there. Establishing those boundaries and everything. Yeah.
Whole making exception for people just this once often leads to more problems, doesn't it? Other parents get wind of it.
Yeah.
Other people complain about it. How come this person's allowed to sit in? Or it all unravels at that point. So it is worth setting clear boundaries and sticking to them.
Definitely.
But one of the things that you can do to prevent like the number of complaints that you get is
have less students.
Just have one student.
Is that not the answer?
Well, that could work. It's more parents though, isn't it, than students actually. To have like a formal system for complaints that doesn't involve people speaking directly to you. So unfortunately, I can't deal with your complaint right now because I'm just finishing a class and starting another class, or I'm closing up. But what you can do is, if you send me an email to this email address, I'll go through it in the next 24 hours and get back to you. And that creates a bit of a separation. So you're not getting that person like standing there just moaning at you, at 10:30 when you're hungry, you're tired, you've been there 6 hours. And you want to go home. So have like a formal way of, this is how we handle complaints here. And also the whole thing about putting it in an email is you have a record of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Because otherwise people can say anything was said by either party, right?
Yeah, I do. I always do that with things that I know that are going to be a little bit more trouble. You sometimes get that vibe. Oh, can I just have a quick chat?
And he's absolutely
thinking,
not.
Yeah. You're thinking no, because the next class is starting in 2 minutes, and I can just tell that this isn't going to be quick. And I'll just say, sorry, Mrs. Smith, I'm just about to start this class. If you just pop it in an email to me, and I'll pick it up as soon as I finish teaching, I'll come straight back to you. And then you open your email up, and it's like 15 paragraphs long.
Yes, but I think that also takes a bit of the emotion out of it.
It does.
Like, It's different sitting down with a cup of tea and a biscuit reading a complaining email with your feet up, or than having the person opposite you where you get that, you know, you can see the negativity on their face and their body language and their tone of voice can start winding you up. I think, and I'd rather get complaints via an email any day.
Yeah, and it gives you the opportunity to get your story straight and get prepared as well.
Yeah,
because you can go and copy and paste living daylights out of training records, out of policies, out of information that you've sent out previously. If I just reference this email on this date, and you can copy paste and get it all done, and you know.
And it gives you time to think about your response, doesn't it? Because stood in front of you, glaring at you and finger pointing, like your adrenaline can spike and your brain can't think strategically or cohesively. But if you're at home and it's the next day and you've got a bit of time, you can actually think about what you want to say, and it might come across a little bit less emotional. But one thing that does surprise me, though, is how wound up martial arts instructors get by complaints. Like, we really do take it quite personally.
Yeah, I think it's because there's that emotional connection to what you're doing as well. It's not like I'm knocking any other jobs or professions or anything. Of course, I'm not a martial arts instructor, for God's sake. I'm the last person to comment. But we do get attached to what we do, don't we, on a personal level. You know, it's our school. We're teaching sometimes our own system. So we do tend to take complaints against our thing as being at us, to a degree, if that makes sense.
Because
you're picking fault at my school and my thing, you know? So I think that's where some of it stems from. And we're control freaks as well.
I mean, that's fair enough, yeah, because it does feel like your own personal, you know, baby that someone's insulting, because often we've got it set up as we like it and how we think it should be. And obviously other people have different opinions on that, and it can wind us up.
We have all of this, you know, martial arts etiquette as well. Like, we have, you know, you it's disrespectful to be late, and it's, you know, you wear your belt and you tie it in a certain way and you bow on the edge of the mats and you do all of this stuff, and we live by that daily. And we expect it from everybody sometimes. Yeah. And what you have to remember is that, you know, whereas, you know, little Jimmy is a marvelous representation, example of martial arts ethics and morals, Dad might be an absolute dick. And he doesn't care about any of that stuff. And sometimes you have to separate it and go, well, yeah, they're not going to maybe show that same level of respect that you maybe demand in your school. From everybody, because they just don't do that. It's not part of who they are. And sometimes they might make funny, might, you know, they'll make little, my God, you're never going to be a martial arts instructor and not have somebody make a martial arts joke at you about painting fences, waxing floors.
Yeah. Karate chops.
Yeah. Chopping wood and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, you just got to take it on the chin and just, oh yeah, hilarious. Because if you just start mugging people off and getting annoyed by it every time, you've had it.
So do you think with complaints, you get better skilled at handling them because they're the same type of complaints? Like, I guess it's the same thing coming up over and over.
If you choose to, yes. I think it's a question of character and whether you want to. I mean, you would think, really, given... You take the martial arts example again. You know, we're always, as instructors, and as, you know, if you flip it around as back when we were students, we are supposed to get better at things the more we practice. You know, so the more we experience sparring, we're supposed to get better. And the more we experience, you know, different scenarios, different pressure testing, we're supposed to get better. So should we not transfer those skills to customer service as well? The more we're exposed to certain scenarios, the better prepared we should be. You know, we start out as white belts in customer service, and then we should really get to be 10th dan grand masters in customer service. If you apply the same thinking, I mean, we should really, shouldn't we? We should get better.
So what's your grade on customer service currently, Chris?
I've got a few stripes on my white belt.
On your white belt?
No, I'm joking. Like... I'm joking. No,
What are you, mid-dan grade? Like,
I mean, I've got the experience there. I think I'm skilled depending on what the complaint is. Sometimes certain things I will just immediately shut down because I know it's, yeah, well, there we go. And we're all going to get it. Yeah. And I know it's completely unrelated to the subject, but with regards to that, I would just say, you know, if you are a new instructor starting out, just cover yourself with everything you've got possible, you know, from everything from policies to, you know,
risk assessments,
everything in place. And, you know, touch wood, we've never had, that's a stupid saying, but we've never had to rely on having our cameras in place in this building, except for one instance. And again, it's a scary thing that it can happen. We did have a child lie once and say that an instructor had kicked them.
For fun or for...
No, like, you know, maliciously, intentionally, in a horrible way. And parents were saying, oh, yeah, you know, he's complaining about his midsection hurting and he's really struggling. And he says that so-and-so's kicked him. And I'm like, that's not right. I mean, I was there for one. I mean, that's not right. And I went back through the camera and they were doing planks position.
Yes.
It was only little, not even, it was tiny because they were just kids. We weren't torturing them for like 25 minutes or anything. And literally this guy, he goes up to the side of him and just pushes him up with his foot because he had his belly on the floor.
Yeah.
So that was it.
In the middle.
Literally, that was it.
The kid's abs were hurting from doing the plank, but he went over and
told him that he'd been kicked. So, you know, you've got it. Because that, I mean, that was in the complaint. That had we not got the video to demonstrate, well, hey, no, that did not happen. Look, you know, which I suppose people in sports halls and things haven't got that luxury. So in that case, you know, you want to make sure you've got as many adults on site as present as possible, you know, eyes on class and all that sort of stuff.
Because
these complaints, for all, you know, we're sitting here going, oh yeah, they're idiots for saying and thinking that, you know, it only takes that one,
of course,
you know, complaint to come in that people have happened. It's sad, it's scary, isn't it? That people are prepared to make crazy accusations and complaints and stuff. But
yeah,
thankfully, all mine are just revolved around, buddy, my timetable's wrong and. My grading slip didn't say that.
Yeah. It's all fun and games, but there are, like you say, like, have things in place to cover your butt.
Yeah.
I think the CCTV is a very good idea if you have a full-time place, because it solves all sorts of problems that you may not even think about, like stealing.
Yes.
Stealing their, you know, safety, like really sparring situations that get out of hand and who's at fault.
We've had that with people complaining, oh, he was going in too rough and doing this and doing that, and I've watched it back and I'm like, no, really not, it really wasn't that bad at all. And you know, you can, yeah, it is useful. But then obviously, you know, just to cover that up as well, you've got to make sure that you've then got all the appropriate policies and procedures in for handling the data as well. So you can't just go whacking cameras in, you know, you've got to make sure you've got, so it's a, you know, you could make it a whole episode on that alone, but you know, it's making sure you cover you're covering yourself for covering yourself.
Yeah. But
the world that we live in now.
Yeah, exactly. But and then trying to nip it in the bud. So if you anticipate someone's going to be a bit of a pain, trying to solve the problem first, or by not letting them join, or have the conversation early of how you like to handle complaints is through email, so that there's a record and we don't do face-to-face moaning at each other. Yeah. I think that will help as well. And then just having a system for, this is our system for handling a complaint, and this is how we do it and this is how we handle it, make sure it's kind of written down so everyone knows it, all staff members know it, and that should keep you out of most of the hot water, in theory.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've got a Facebook group for parents and students, and we have all our policies pinned in there.
Cool, yeah.
And every time it's updated, we pin it in there.
Yeah.
So they've always got access to those ones. And of course, then you have those people that go, don't you change Facebook? Well, I'll email it to you then. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have it as part of the email welcome sequence, part of the membership pack, part of the online course that they could get when they join up, part of the Facebook group. Yeah. And ideally, if you can get people to sign that they understand what they've read, that does help as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It definitely does. But even then, you'll still get, you'll learn to know who they are. Like, I've got a little group of parents and students that I know every time something changes, they're going to get it wrong. If they have to bring a piece of paper or document back for something, they're going to get it wrong.
Yeah,
it's the same ones every single time. And it doesn't matter how many times you change the system or simplify it or send out notices, they're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And you've got two options. Just live with it and just take it on the chin, or just kick them out. They're literally your only two. And I think sometimes, again, just coming back to what I was saying before, which my tired brain can't remember what it was, but it was something to do with sometimes you just, it was the whole etiquette thing. You know, sometimes people have got a whole heap of crap going, don't I know it, a whole heap of crap going off in their life.
Yeah.
And they just forget stuff, and they just forget that form. They just forget, you know, you're not the high up their priority list.
No.
Whatever else they've got going off in their life is far more important than the presentation slip for Billy's green belt. But to you as the instructor, it's the ultimate insult for you to forget that form.
It's annoying, but I prefer to cut people some slack. And you're right, it's the same people every single time.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you get to a point where you've got to either just take it in the chin and go, yeah, they're going to muck it up. Or if you know you can't cope with it, just make it very clear very early on that if they do it again, they're gone. And then stick by that if you say it. Because I've done that before, and I've gone, right, if anyone else does this, this is what's going to happen. And then they do it again, and you're like,
all credibility gone.
And then they're like, right, well, I've got you now, because you said you were going to do something, and you need to do it. But then if they see you do it, and they know you're going to do it, they'll go, shit, he means it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I've had to do that before. We had a situation where we had an instructor cover a class that they wouldn't normally do because I couldn't get there. There was an emergency or something, and it was belt presentations, and they didn't know the kids. And one of the kids was like, "Oh yeah, I got a belt," and he hadn't. We had lists, but hundreds of people, they couldn't like go through everyone and check off every name. It just takes forever. So we just relied on people not lying and knowing what they were doing, basically. So now we have a form that they bring in.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before, actually. And on that, at certain points, the parents have to sign to say that they agree, they understand the kids need certain kit at certain levels.
Yeah.
When the form gets brought back. So they can't at any point go, I didn't know they needed hand pads. It's like, well, you did. Because you sign this bit of paper to get the belt to say that you knew that. So they have to bring the form filled in, name, belt required, signed parents. If the form doesn't come back in, they don't get the belt. We just don't. Because either everybody does it or nobody does it. You can't have an in-between. And the first few times we did it, we had people not bring it back. And they thought, you'll be able to have it, don't worry. No, you can't. Bring it next time, you'll get it next time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not very fair. Well, no, but you did bring your form, so no belt. And we've always been firm by that. And then people stopped forgetting them because they're like, no, if you don't take it, you can't get it. Or they'll email and say, oh, we'll come in tomorrow, but we've lost our form. Can you send us another one? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Whereas before they would just turn up and go, I don't matter. You'll let us have it anyway.
No, setting the rules and expectations, right?
Yep. So there are certain things, you know, you sometimes just do. Because if we let it slide and didn't make it an absolute, why would anybody make any effort to fill out those forms and bring them?
Mm.
And then it would just render the whole thing useless. It wouldn't work. And if there's that one day where I get breakdown on the motorway or something else happens and somebody covers and they don't know who everybody is, they don't know the names of the kids and they don't know who's graded, who's not, and they've just got kids going, I need a belt. They end up getting belts handed out, and then you have to take them back.
Which is always an awkward one.
Oh, it's horrible.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we have. I had one class for 4-year-olds, and there was like 3 Williams or something. And the wrong one got about. I was like, oh, hell. And Dad even let the kid take it and take a picture with him as well, and then went, he didn't get a belt this time. I'm like, you're having a laugh. Other Williams sat in the corner sobbing, while his parents looking at me with death eyes.
That's a legit reason for a complaint, I think.
Definitely. It is. And then you have to backpedal quickly. It's like, really sorry, I've got loads of Williams in my class and I have no memory.
good times, Chris. Good times. You're giving me flashbacks of traumatic situations I've had in my own
and school. This is why you don't do this anymore, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. I'd had enough of the of that type of thing. So
how did your Facebook course go?
Yeah, it was really good. Nice number of people on there. Everyone was willing to learn some new stuff. And we covered all sorts of stuff to do with like Facebook ad setup, Facebook ad creative types of offers to create, loads of it. It was really good. And every instructor gave a slightly different approach, which means people had lots to go away with. So, yep, happy day.
Can people still get the recording for that? They can buy the recording.
No, not anymore.
They've missed it.
But they had. I was talking about it for a month. They had their chance.
What's this segue I'm about to do, though? You'll like this. But isn't there an approach they can take that's different? If they've got a Facebook page, they shouldn't really be putting all their eggs in that basket, should they, with the Facebook page? There is better ways of doing it.
Well, there's alternative ways of doing it. I'm not really a believer in posting on your Facebook page like every day.
I did that well. Do you like that?
It was good. Because your Facebook page reach is artificially restricted by Facebook because they want you to pay for ads. And the people on your Facebook page are people who already know about your business.
So what can people do then?
Well, Chris, thanks for asking. What they can do is start posting in local resident groups with different types of content that's designed to get people to take action.
Haven't you got a course you're doing or something?
I have, yes.
That's what I was getting at. I was trying to be all professional and be all like, plug your course.
Yeah, I'm doing a course on the 10th of May all about how to...
That was an open goal.
Yeah,
well, I was gifting you there. I'm not great
at football. Good at kicking and punching, but not great at football.
Say the date again, sorry.
Friday 10th of May, and it's going to be on how to generate leads from Facebook groups in your local area.
Do you have anything on Facebooky now that I could put
in? Yeah, I'll send you a link and stick it in the notes if you want.
Boom, we'll do that then.
Lovely jubbly.
Sweet. Well, I best go do...
Sleeping?
No, yes, and driving. I've got to go do some picking up from activities and stuff.
Okay.
Get cool. My dad duties on the go. But yeah, thanks for testing my restraint. I think I managed to keep my offensiveness to a minimum today.
I think you did good.
Yeah.
As someone who's had no sleep, I think you did really good. Well done. For
2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably something I'm supposed to say now about Patreon stuff. Thanks for giving me your money.
and anything else?
I spent it on beer.
Ah, good stuff.
No, I'm joking aside. Thank you to our lovely Patreon people. If anybody out there is interested in getting involved with our Patreon, it's patreon.com/kickbackwithchris, and it's just £1 a month. So just go and join it because it's just £1.
Nice.
And you get early access. In fact, if you're listening to that, you might actually be listening to this on the Patreon now with early access.
There you go.
Because we record this now on the Thursday, and I edit it immediately and put it on there Thursday night. So you could have been listening to it on Thursday rather than Friday for £1 a month.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey?
Deal of the century.
That buzz then was my wife saying, do not forget to pick your daughter up at night.
Don't pick your daughter up, Chris. Let's not get you in any more trouble.
Jesus. Right. Anyway, thanks for your time, dude. And go check out the Facebook page thing, whatever that was, on whatever the date you said was. It's in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes. Cheers, guys.
Nice one. Oh, God.
Support our podcast by making your art martial orders via the link in our show notes. Art Martial. Art Martial. Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.
All right, guys. So I'm actually going to lie. I just recorded a proper outro, and somehow in my slightly, tired, zombified state, despite clicking export and being very sure that I did, I can't find it. So I'm back on again recording it. A little bit of a shorter version. So I'm just putting that caveat in there. I don't know what the heck happened. This is what happens when you do podcasts when you're very, very tired. So I would like to actually thank my Patreon supporters. So in no particular order other than the Patreon page, I've just clicked on it now, it's opened up, and these are the £2 supporters. So the particular order is the page order. Carlos, Simon Wales, Claire King, Phil S, Paul MacArthur, Daniel David Thomas, Mark Davies, and Baz. Baz Chilia. You know why, Baz. Yeah, so I've just done a big outro and it hasn't exported for some reason. So now I'm just recording this outro, so it's got one. Don't forget, guys, it's soul-destroying when that happens. But yeah, don't forget to support our supporters. So our Art Martial banners, our Mitmaster banners on the website. If you go and use those to purchase anything from those awesome people, we get a small kickback from it. It doesn't cost you an extra penny. You can also use the links in the show notes too. Don't also forget to check out our friends over at Martialytics. If you need a CRM system for your martial arts school, we use it in mine, and it's a brilliant system. They've actually just had an update where you can do it on your phone as well now, which is really cool. And don't forget to check out our friends at SGC Security. Give them some love on social media. They are a big reason why this podcast is still going. I am the reason why it isn't going sometimes, because I can't make computers go. So hopefully this one records, albeit about 10 minutes shorter. But, you know, you'll just have to, you'll have to just make it up in your head what I just said. You just have to, like, imagine what I would have said and go with that. Oh, my days, I can't believe that's just happened. Anyway, you live and learn. Don't forget, we've got Fight Scene Friday coming up later on this week. And on the Patreon, if you're willing to, you know, part ways with £1 or £2 a month, if you head over to patreon.com/kickbackwithchris, you can get early access to this episode and all the other episodes. I actually go home and furiously edit down the Thursday episode so that they actually do get it a little bit earlier than everybody else. The Tuesday episode. You know what I meant. I know what I meant. Whew, there we go. And you get the Fight Scene Friday episode the day before as well if you're in the Patreon group. I've actually just posted the new intro to Fight Scene Friday as well, the audio intro, the music and everything, so they've got to listen to that before everybody else. So yeah, early access. I do exclusive videos, like today I did like a little 6-minute catch up with everybody, explaining all my life dramas at the minute. So if you want to be privy to that, it'll cost you £1 a month, so you see me moaning on a more frequent basis. But no, joking aside, thank you to the patrons. You might think, oh, it's £1, £2, what's it matter? You know, if 100 people get involved with it, you know, it's a lot of money, and it's £1 or £2 to you, it's nothing, you know. But again, that being said, I do appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. Every pound people give me, I super appreciate it. It helps go. It helps covering. I'll be honest, I'm putting it all into Facebook and Instagram feeds at the minute. I'm trying to get the podcast to grow and let people know about its existence. And we're using the Patreon money to fund the social media fees and stuff. So, you guys are having a direct impact in making the podcast grow and reach more people. So, it's great. The more people listen, the happier our sponsors are, the happier I am, the happier everybody is, because our podcast makes the universe a better place. So what better way to finish than that? Thank you, everybody. Please, God, let this export, because I will literally, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right, anyway, have a great week, guys. See you all on Friday for Fight Scene Friday, or Thursday if you're in the Patreon group. and catch you all next week or at the end of this week, or I'm just going to stop now. See you later, guys.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.